Welcome to the Global Gaming Business Podcast, the industry's first and longest-running podcast, now in our 20th year. I'm Roger Gross, the editor-at-large for Global Gaming Business, and my guest today is Sarah Procopio, the CEO of Thrive Marketing Science. AI is ruling the world today. Its usage in the gaming industry, however, is more nuanced and complex. Personalized messages to customers can be very appealing or downright insulting if you don't get it right. Sarah Procopio is an expert at AI and has been utilizing it for her clients at Thrive Marketing Science. She believes ethics and truthfulness are essential to guarantee success when communicating with customers and potential customers. She explains what needs to happen to create effective messages. She spoke with me at G2E in Las Vegas last October. Welcome to the Global Gaming Business Podcast. We're doing another edition of our podcast here at G2E 2025. And my guest today is Sarah Procopio. She's the CEO of Thrive Marketing. Sarah, thanks for taking the time to join us. You've done some incredible work over the last couple of years, and I really want to share that with our public.
Thank you, Roger. I appreciate being here.
So let's start with a little bit of your background. How'd you get into the industry and what did you find when you got here?
Yeah, started off really young at Caesars, MGM. Uh-huh. Started at the Desert Inn, if you could believe that. Five-star training, which right out of the gate, which sure. was really great and affected sort of the way that I navigate. Uh-huh. And then moved up quickly from there. Started it off in direct response marketing, analytics, and was sitting on an executive committee before I knew it for the Silverton and Majestic Realty.
Okay.
Yeah.
So marketing in the industry is really in a kind of flux right now with all the, is it advertising, is it social media or streaming or whatever. So where do you think that marketing is going right now?
Yeah, I think it's all about increasing personalization, customization, uh-huh. And really focusing on the individual player journey.
Right.
And evoking emotion through that journey.
Okay, well, that makes sense, absolutely. So how does Thrive Marketing implement that for your clients?
So we have three pieces. We have the behavioral intelligence piece, uh-huh. and that is the analytics and the market research. So everything that we do goes pretty deep and is rooted in data science. Uh-huh. And then on top of that, we build the storytelling or branding and creative piece. Mm-hmm. So that's, anything from logo design to billboard creation, ad campaigns. And then after that, there's the connected activation. So that's digital marketing, like you mentioned, social, all of those things.
Yeah. Okay. So explain how the behavioral economics works. How do you determine, what works there?
Yeah. So behavioral economics is really the study of our illogical decisions that we make. We're okay. all irrational decision makers, not very logical.
Sure.
And when we do that, we use different shortcuts, mental mm-hmm. shortcuts called behavioral heuristics.
Okay.
And it's about leveraging those mental shortcuts to get people to make the decisions that benefit the business. So as consumers, it's really important that we understand and guard against this information being used against us. But as businesses, we can use it to benefit us.
Sure.
So an example of that, a practical example, would be the decoy theory. So you take two options. One you want somebody to pick. You yeah. want a player to pick. Let's say it's a room package. Mm-hmm. And another one you don't want them to pick. And you make this one that you don't want them to pick look real significantly less attractive.
Yeah.
So it's the decoy, mm-hmm. and people are naturally obligated to choose the one that, is more attractive.
Right.
So that's an example of...
Okay. So how does, a lot of talk this year about artificial intelligence really started to hit home with the gaming industry, and I guess every industry. But how do you use AI to determine, which players you want to bring to your property?
Yeah, so I think we're finding that we can use it to really as like a jetpack or a turbo booster for all of the things that we've always wanted to do before.
Right.
So we could do it faster, cheaper, more aggressively, higher quality, and at scale, which is really exciting.
Uh-huh.
So all of these things that we knew about personalization, just say, and like segmenting different players in all of these different ways, whether it's psychographic characteristics, player preferences, play type, maybe the lifestyle that they're living or the life stage that they're in.
Yeah.
We can personalize messages and the creative so that it's more impactful and evokes more emotion.
Okay.
And when it evokes more emotion, of course, they get more excited. They want to respond, and you get a higher response rate and ultimately more revenue and profit.
Okay. You know, a lot of people seem to think AI is a silver bullet, you know, that we just have to implement it and there it goes. But it's much more complicated than that, right?
Yeah, it's a little bit more complicated than that. I think we're all, you know, it's all about curating the right tech stack. So right. We're always at the forefront of trying new tools and figuring out how it works and blending all of those together right. in mm-hmm. a powerful way. So, yeah, I mean, it's definitely trial and error and figuring out what works, and nothing replaces good experience. So right. sometimes something spit out that doesn't make sense, and you have to always be, you know, at the wheel, making sure that the final product is what you intend it to be.
Okay. So, you know, I know a lot of marketing companies that serve the industry are, you know, they've got good artists, they've got good executives, but most of them don't have a lot of experience in the gaming industry, whereas you do. You actually worked in the industry. Does that set you apart from the other firms?
I think so. I think it sets us apart because we know all of the levers to pull to increase revenue.
Yeah.
So sometimes we'll do turnaround projects, or sometimes we'll go into places that maybe their executive team doesn't have a deep gaming background.
Yeah.
Maybe they're in a disadvantaged community or at a rural location.
Sure.
And so we'll be able to go in there and know exactly what levers to pull without people having to tell us or the team having to guide
right.
or coach us. So
right.
we get up and running really fast.
Yeah, because you know how gaming operates, and you know the things that they will utilize, you know, that'll be natural to them. I guess.
Yes, and we understand player behavior and how to find players for, you know, acquisition, reactivation. We know how to kind of like dig into those sweet spots right out of the gate.
Sure, I understand that. So obviously loyalty clubs are very important to casinos, and you utilize them to determine, you know, which players they should target, right?
Yeah, that's right. So what we're seeing out there is that even though everybody has a loyalty club, they're not leveraging it in a way that shifts player behavior.
Mm-hmm.
So they may have tiers, they may have re-tiering periods,
right.
but they forget to remind the players, you know, here's the level you're at, you know, you need to earn 100 more points to
right.
get to this next level within a week.
Right.
And then there's no behavioral-based triggers that tie into it that hit them on text messaging, automated voicemail,
right.
through their activity on the website. So there's real opportunity to take that to the next level and do a better job communicating. It's as simple as that, really.
Sure. And,
yeah.
And it still remains aspirationally based, right?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Always.
Yeah.
We're always trying to push to get them to the next level.
Right. So how would this, how does that combine with online gaming? I mean, a lot of the big companies have online sites as well, and you can earn points online as well as you can earn points, you know, within the physical properties. Do you differentiate between the points earned online versus the physical properties?
You know, every company has their own philosophy on that.
Right.
We like online gaming because that's more tracked patterns,
right. sure.
you know, more tracked player behavior.
Sure.
So it's
yeah.
always nice to have that extra data point and then that extra place to send them faster and more trackable.
Right. Okay, great. So how important is a corporate culture when you're trying to attract players or trying to retain players, more importantly, that, you know, the corporate culture is very friendly, very warmly engaging, that kind of thing?
Yeah, I would say it's really important because it creates authenticity and a powerful in-person experience.
Right.
So you can do great job marketing, but if the experience falls flat when the player gets there, and then there's all sorts of bad reviews because the culture isn't positive
right.
and the customer service is bad, I mean, no amount of marketing can fix that, really.
Yeah, right. Do you get called into properties that have run into that problem that they pissed, like, I've seen some of the major companies recently change their tier structure. You have to earn many more points to get to a higher tier, and that kind of pisses people off and then moves them off. How do you bring them back then?
Yeah, nothing makes people more mad than taking something away.
Right.
So really, I think the trick there is if you're ever going to switch things up like that and take something away, you have to give something in return
right, yeah.
so it doesn't feel like a detraction.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, no question. And I think they haven't learned that lesson yet. So.
I don't think so. And I think the other piece of that is social listening. So oftentimes one of the first things we do when we take on a new client is we'll implement a social listening tool that scans all of the different rating platforms
right.
so we can get a sense of what the what the players are saying and what the challenges are on the property.
Right.
And then we start reporting those to the department heads and figuring out how to fix that through online reviews and that sort of thing. Okay.
So you mentioned authenticity. I think that's really an important issue, you know, it's a word that came out of the esports thing that I saw, that people were rejecting some of the casino way they were trying to involve esports because they weren't authentic. How do you create that authenticity if you don't have it right away?
Yeah, I think it's a challenge. And I think, like, the more and more personalized you get, if you miss the mark by getting somebody's name wrong or getting some of their details wrong, I mean, that's worse than not getting, not getting the personalization right in the first place.
Yeah.
So I think it's tough. I mean, you just constantly have to work at taking an interest in folks and listening and, tailoring the experience to the player.
Yeah. Okay, great. So, over the past probably 10 years or so, there's been a lot of emphasis on branding, branding casinos. So people know exactly what it is when they hear the brand. Is that still an important part of marketing at this point?
Yeah, I think branding is more important now than ever, but it's much more than just a logo, a color palette, tagline. It really affects every piece of the player journey, and it's also more trackable. So you can understand how people are perceiving the brand, if you've elevated the brand through marketing, if you've detracted from the brand. I think as marketers, we're all being held more accountable, which is really great for businesses.
Okay. So one last question. You gather so much data through the loyalty clubs and through all these other avenues, surveys and the like. How do you parse through all that data to find the data that really really works?
Yeah, I mean, that's one place where AI is really helping us, because we're able to identify algorithms faster, detect patterns in the data that we can leverage from a behavioral standpoint.
Right.
So that's really where the power comes in, is oftentimes you have analytics companies that don't understand player behavior.
Right.
And then you have marketing companies that don't understand analytics and finance.
Right.
And so oftentimes we'll get sort of like old school CEOs coming to us and saying, well, which one are you really, Sarah? You have to commit. Are you analytics or are you marketing or creative?
Right.
But actually the power is when you blend the two together.
Uh-huh.
And you use the data as a springboard for creative. And that's when, really the magic happens and there's super high impact. Okay. And then you track it and then you
Okay, great.
Cycle goes on and on.
Well, you've talked about a lot of things that that just need more drill down, but we don't have time for that. But hopefully we'll be able to learn more about that when you get to write for GGB Magazine and talk about, we'll have do other podcasts in the future as well. So. Sarah, thanks for taking the time to join us, and it's really been interesting to listen to you, and hope to learn more in the very near future.
Thank you, Roger. I appreciate it.
Great.
Thanks for joining us on the GGB Podcast. To learn more about the topics discussed today and all the important issues in gaming, check out the Global Gaming Business Magazine. For a free virtual copy of the magazine, subscribe at ggbmagazine.com. To stay current with the daily news of the gaming industry, subscribe for free to the Global Gaming Monitor at igamingbusiness.com. Don't miss a single episode of the GGB Podcast. Subscribe on Amazon, Spotify, and Apple Podcasts today. So we'll see you next time on the GGB Podcast.